The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Jesus said, "Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. And the crowd answered him, "We have heard from the law that the Messiah remains forever. How can you say that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" And Jesus said to them, "The light is with you for a little longer. Walk while you have the light, so that the darkness may not overtake you. If you walk in the darkness, you do not know where you are going. While you have the light, believe in the light, so that you may become children of the light." The Gospel of the Lord.
In the name of one God who creates, redeems, and sustains us. Amen. The pilgrims and I woke up probably around 4:30 in the morning. Under the still night sky in silence, we slowly filtered into the courtyard to begin our journey into Old Jerusalem, to walk the stations of the cross. One reason for this journey at that hour was to avoid the crowds and to be able to walk those stations as a meditation rather than having to fight against the daily hustle and bustle of the old city. It's true that if we had actually walked during normal business hours, we would have had an experience much closer to Jesus's through the street, but it was our last day. It was our last moments together. And personally, I savored the quiet and the dark. Walking the 4 or 5 blocks from our guest house to the walls of Jerusalem was easy enough in the dark because of the street lamps that lit our way. However, once inside the city walls, it became very dark, and therefore quite difficult to see. Many pulled out their phones to shed light on the cobblestones as we journeyed, zigzagging our way towards the first station. No shops were open. A few people sweeping and cleaning the streets. But for the most part, the old city was still asleep. Only a few here and there venturing out in the darkness. Even the Israeli police were not at their normal stations. It was quiet. It was dark. Bless you. As the author of the book that we used for each station, he wrote a prayer and a meditation. He said that walking the stations of the cross means feeling the walk with our feet and living it in our hearts. At each station, one person would do a reading of what had happened at that location. And then another would lead us in a prayer that encompassed the social justice needs of our world. We prayed for governments. We prayed for parents, for those in need, for those who mock others as Jesus was mocked, for the destitute, for those who suffer from racism and sexism and every other ism out there, for those who are publicly humiliated, for those who suffer from violence. We prayed at the stations. We prayed as we walked through the streets, feeling it with our feet and living Jesus' journey in our hearts and in our prayers. On this journey, and quite frankly, any time one walks the stations of the cross, we all carry personal crosses inside of ourselves. We carry with us those places where we need healing, those places where we are uncertain, those dark places where we yearn for the light of God to shine into us. Yet, as a group, we also carried a 4 to 5 foot wooden cross with us, station to station. I had explained to the pilgrims that I had walked these stations before. I have carried that cross, and it would be up to them to share the cross between the stations. This was their journey to Calvary. My role was to be their priest, to walk with them and to pray for them as we walked. But I also knew what the pilgrims did not, was that my personal cross was quite large enough for me to carry through that dark morning. Only I knew that as we walked, that the nominating committee for the next bishop of Los Angeles was meeting at the exact same time. I knew that maybe my phone would buzz and I would receive a call telling me, "Thank you, but you aren't called to move forward at this point." Or maybe I would receive a call telling me, "I'm being put on a slate with others." And as I walked and as I prayed, I knew in my heart that this news had the potential not so much to change my life, although that's true, but to change the life of those I cared about, to change the life of St. Cross, this parish that I love, that I cherish, that I'm so excited to be back with. As pilgrims, we walked and we prayed, and thankfully my phone never buzzed. We continued our journey through the dark city as the pre-dawn light began to break, walking in Jesus' footsteps. Jesus condemned to die, Jesus falling, seeing his mother, Simon of Cyrene taking Jesus' cross, Jesus talking to the weeping women, Jesus being stripped of his garments, nailed to a cross, being taken off that cross and laid in a tomb. We walked that walk together, and the last 5 stations of this journey take place in what is called the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. And at the last station, in a small cave-like room called the Empty Tomb, is where we took the emotion of our journey and made our confession to God. And in that confession, it brought together the cross, our faith, our pilgrimage, and all that we carried in our hearts. And at the end of the confession, we say the exact words we say every Easter: "Alleluia, he is risen." Reminding us that we do not live in the darkness. We do not live in death. No, we live in the life of Jesus. We live in the light of Jesus. And it was amazing to say those words together as a group. And then, as our last act of the journey in this empty tomb, there was this old altar. And people brought forward objects from their pilgrimages, crosses, rosary, holy oil, People brought forth personal items to be blessed, their own personal crosses, wedding rings, gifts, milagros, mementos, and they were spread over this altar to take back with us as a reminder that we are children of the light. We walk the journey of the cross, sometimes in darkness, but Jesus' story, our story, always ends in resurrection. And as we walked out of the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, changed, I hope, by this early morning journey, we walked out into the bright morning light. Bakers with their carts of bread ready to sell. The walls around us glowing with that morning light that is characteristic of the old city. The darkness had once again been dispelled, and we were physically reminded that we are children of the light. I am nothing but ecstatic to be back from sabbatical and to continue our journey, our call, our mission to bring the light of Christ to the people here in the South Bay and far beyond our community. We are called to wrestle with the hard questions of how to be that light. We're called to wrestle with how do we end homelessness and in the meantime care for the homeless in our community. We're called to challenge ourselves to have hard conversations about how we choose to treat each other, both those familiar to us and those different from us. How can we treat one another as children of the light, even when we don't see eye to eye, whether the issue is race or gender or politics? How can we continue to treat one another, quite frankly, as Jesus did? Because you see, our call is to walk the way of the cross, and it is very much like the walk that the pilgrims took. One heads out following the footsteps of Jesus, never knowing if that path will be smooth or rocky, light enough for safe travel or compromised in the disorienting deep darkness, or filled with the light of the glorious breaking dawn. Following in the way of Jesus is about the prayerful journey. And for the past months, I have journeyed far and well, and I am thrilled to be home. And in the coming months, you and I, together, we will keep our eyes set on Jesus as we follow faithfully in his way. Amen.